Amen, brother. Thank you. You would be fine in the 33rd Psalm this morning. I don't have an accent. All those Yankee folks do. They're the ones with an accent. Amen. Psalm 33. Sure appreciate y'all having us and your hospitality and the invitation to be with you these days in this meeting. We do hate to run, like to stick around for the whole thing, but you understand how it is. Need to get back to our place for the Lord's Day and so forth. So we're glad we could be here when we could. And thank you for the nice room. Thank you for the invitation and the good food. And like he was talking about, I know there's hitches and glitches and things that nobody will know about except the ones that's doing the work, the doers of the work. And it's always something. It takes a lot of effort to put on something like this. And thank you so much. We sure do appreciate it. He said something about these airplane messages. I've preached some of those 747 messages that took a long time to get up. And then I preached some of them other kinds, C-130, I think is what he said, that just hop right up. And then I preached another kind of airplane message, and that's just crash and burn. So hopefully I won't do that this morning, if the Lord will help us. I just got done reading a book about Nathan Bedford Forrest. I don't know if y'all know who that is this far out in the Western Territory, but he was a Confederate cavalry commander, and he'd ride out ahead of his men a lot of times and just a headlong charge and get right in there amongst the Yankees, and he killed 30 Yankees single-handed and had 29 horses killed out from under him during the war. Amazing that he lived. He got saved after the war, and just a great story. But one time he rode out there ahead of them, and he was fighting some over here, and this one young fella rode up on him and started slashing at him like that with a saber. And he put his arm up and got his arm all cut to pieces, but he was able to get out, survive with his life. And he said later on, he said, if that young man had had the foresight to use the point of his saber, he said, I'd have died. I wouldn't have made it. He'd have killed me. And so I'll try not to hack around. I'll try to get to the point this morning. That's the message on that. All right? Well, Psalm 33 and verse number 4, the Bible said, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Father, I pray You bless Your word this morning. May we be a help, Lord. It's been great so far. I pray we wouldn't do anything to hinder what's already been said and done and what Your Spirit is trying to do here in this meeting, Lord. Please help us to just say exactly what You would have to be said. And may we be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. He says right here, for the word of the Lord is right. I'm trying to preach to you for just a few minutes here on the Bible is right. Amen. I'll say this, if you got the right kind of Bible, the Bible is right. If you got one of them new international Bibles, it's not right. It's not holy. It's not a Bible. If you got one of them ESVs out of hell, all these Calvinists are promoting and saying it's a more conservative, it's just as rotten as all the rest of them. It's right out of that West Scott and Horde, all that corrupted line of manuscripts. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for it. I'm talking about the New King James and all the rest of them. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for a whole pile of them unless I had a parrot cage that I needed to line the bottom of. But I'm telling you, if you got a 1611 King James, hey, it's not the King James Version. There's not but one version of what God said. But if you got a 1611 King James Bible, it is right. I mean, it's the Bible is right. Every bit of it's right. It's always right, always has been right, always will be right. It's right because it's inspired. Peter said that holy men of God, by prophecy in old time of the Scripture, came not by will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. When Jeremiah sat down and Daniel sat down and David sat down to write, God moved them, God breathed on them, God inspired them to write it down like he wanted to get it wrote down. He said what he meant what he said, and the Bible is right. Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He said it's given by inspiration. That's the breath of God. By the way, it's a living book. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God breathed on this book, and this book became a living book. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the word of God is quick. That's alive. That's alive. The quick, the brother preached on the quick and the dead. That's the only kind of two drivers there are, too, by the way, the quick and the dead. But I mean that quick, that means alive. Amen. And so the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder the dividing of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I mean, Psalm chapter 12 and verse number 6 said, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth. And so this Bible is right because it's inspired. But now, wait a minute. There's a crowd that goes around today saying, well, I believe the Bible was inspired in the original autographs. Yeah. Well, it was, but that doesn't mean you any good. Because I don't have any original autographs. How about you? And so we see the Bible, not only is it right because it's inspired, but it's right because it's preserved. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. How long? Forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. I mean, brother, there's going to come a day. Y'all don't have too many hills over here in Oklahoma, but I mean the hills you got's going to be a hopping like bullfrogs. The mountains will be on fire. The valleys will be filled with lava. I mean, heaven and earth shall pass away. The sky's going to tear apart like an old newspaper. The moon's going to turn into blood. The stars are going to fall out of heaven like rotten persimmons off a persimmon tree. Heaven and earth's going to pass away. But Jesus said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Yes. Amen. When the hills are on fire, neighbor, the Bible will still be right. It's right because it is preserved. Not only inspired, but preserved forever, O Lord. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the Bible's right because of inspiration. The Bible's right because of preservation. And thank God the Bible's right because, stay with me now, because of translation. You say, well now, surely preacher, don't get nervous now, but you say, surely preacher, a translation couldn't be as good as the original. I don't know about that. Every translation I ever read about in the Bible, the translation was better than the original. What do you think about that? I mean, I'm translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. The translation's better, right? Well, we'll be translated in a moment. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. The translation was all right, wasn't it? I mean, God translated the kingdom from Saul to David. The translation, that worked pretty good, didn't it? You know, if Pilate could put on the cross his word, the words of Pilate, governor of Israel, that this man was the king of the Jews. And by the way, Pilate didn't like it when they wanted to change his word. I read back there in the book of Esther and the book of Daniel about the word of the king that could not be changed. And I read where the word of the king is, there is power. And they said, well, let's change it to he said. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Reckon what the God of heaven thinks about puny man when he takes his puny mind and his puny hands and says, well, I think we ought to change, make a better translation right here. But what my point is, Pilate could get his words written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Now, Pilate could do it, don't you think? Bless your heart, the God of heaven could do it. I mean, get us a perfect translation in the King James Bible. That don't stretch my faith at all. How about you? Amen. What kind of God are we serving anyhow? I'm just telling you, the Bible is right. I mean, we believe in things like the six-day creation. We believe in things like the miracles of the Bible. We believe that old whale swallowed Jonah. Somebody asked Sam Jones, said, "You don't believe that whale swallowed Jonah, do you?" He said, "Oh yeah, I believe that." He said, "The only reason I don't believe that Jonah swallowed the whale is because the Bible doesn't say that he did." And so we believe that. We believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and His virgin birth and His deity and His perfect life and His blood atonement on the old rugged cross and salvation by grace through faith and eternal life. I mean, salvation is forever. Once saved, always saved, whatever you want to call it. We believe Jesus is coming again literally before 1 minute of the 7-year tribulation, before the millennial reign. I mean, we believe He's coming again. We believe all these things. Why? How can we believe it? Because the Bible's right, and that's what the Bible says. The songwriter said, "How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent Word." And so our faith is in this book. We are Bible believers. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Well, how in the world are we going to know what truth is? Because the Bible is right. And so we believe in these. Our faith is not in councils. It's not in church fathers. It's not in traditions. It's not in feelings. It's not in opinions. It is in this book. This is where we stand. The Bible is right. That's an old book, but it's still right. It's a criticized book, but it's still right. It's a doubted book, but it's still right. Men have tried to defy it, disprove it, dilute it, discard it, discredit it, deny it, and destroy it. But at the end of the day, after all the efforts of man, it's still right. Judges have tried to outlaw it. Religions have banned it. Tyrants have burned it. Scholars have scoffed at it. Scientists have mocked at it. The politically correct woke crowd has tried to shame it. Modernists have been offended at it. Churches have got so low down and sorry that they've changed it. Preachers have tried to correct it. Satan's tried to stamp it out. Hell's tried to hold it back. But after all of that, neighbor, it's still right. I'm telling you, the Bible is right. When science is wrong, oh, science couldn't ever be wrong, could it? You remember all that follow the science stuff? How about we follow the Scriptures? What's the Scripture say? Let me just, can I run a little rabbit and not take too long on that 747? What's the Bible say? When a man's sick, you quarantine him. And yeah, put a mask on the sick man, cover his upper lip, not everybody else. Right. Say amen right there. But we didn't do that. We followed the science, didn't we? Well, this country would have been a whole lot better off if we'd followed the Scripture instead of following the scientists. Amen. Old Fauci and all the rest of that crowd ought to throw every one of them in jail, what they ought to do. You're welcome. That's free. Didn't cost you any extra right there. But I'm talking about when the science is wrong, the Bible is still right. When religion is wrong, the Bible's still right. When the Democrats are wrong, the Bible's still right. When the Republicans are wrong, don't die on me right there. The Bible is still right. When the media's wrong, when the professor's wrong, when the courts are wrong, I mean, when the courts say that two men constitutes marriage, they're wrong. This book's right. When the Koran's wrong, and the Pope's wrong, and the Book of Mormon's wrong, and the church tradition's wrong, and the preacher's wrong, and popular opinion's wrong, and the polls are wrong, and the internet's wrong, and when Obama's wrong, and your mama's wrong, and when Oprah and Dr. Phil's wrong, bless your heart, the Bible is still right. The Word of the Lord is right. Well, what's it right about? Well, it's right about everything it says, but there's four things I'd like to give you right here in this chapter. The Bible is right. Number one, it's right about creation. See, if you believe the Bible, you won't be made a monkey out of. You start listening to all this billions of years stuff, and the man came from a monkey. I'm not much on poetry, but I found a little poem. It might be a blessing to you. Y'all might have heard this. I don't know. It's these three monkeys. Talks about their conversation. It says, three monkeys sat in a coconut tree, discussing things as they're said to be. Said one to the others, now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that cannot be true, that man descended from our noble race. Why, the very idea is a disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, and ruined her life. And you never known of a mother monk leave her babies with others to bunk, or pass them on from one to another till they scarcely know their mother. And another thing you'll never see, a monk build a fence around a coconut tree, forbidding all the other monks a taste, and letting the coconuts go to waste. Here's another thing a monk won't do, go out at night and get in a stew, or use a gun or a club or a knife to take some other monkey's life. Yes, man descended, that ornery cuss, but brethren, he didn't descend from us. Amen. The Bible's right about creation. I know there's a lot of men that act like monkeys, but we didn't come from them. What did it say right there? Verse number 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, there's the creation, verse number 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as in a heap. He layeth up the depth of his storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. The Bible's right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible's right about it. I like what old brother S.M. Lockridge said. He said, the great old black preacher from down yonder in Texas, he said, God stood where there was nothing to stand on. He reached where there was nothing to grab, grabbed a hold of something that wasn't there, hung it on nothing, and said, now you stay there. Now, you can't beat that, brother. I mean, the Bible's right about creation. And number 2, the Bible's right about counsel. Verse number 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. I wonder why he said devices right there in the context of counsel. I didn't bring mine. I left it in the van. Where you ought to leave it when you come to church. Say amen right there. But you know where folks are getting their counsel these days? Let's see what Google says about it. Let's see what YouTube says about it. I mean, let's see what some, you don't even know who put that stuff on there. I tell you, the Bible will teach you. Don't go Google how to have a good home. You let the Bible teach you. Don't go look it up on YouTube. Let's see what the Bible says about how to raise your kids, how to have a good marriage, how to fix your mind, how to fix your home, how to work, how to live, how to eat, how to exercise, and everything else. I tell you, this book's good to live by. It's a good book to die by, but it's a good book to live by, too. I got an email here a while back. Man, this guy said, I don't know how we don't have much of an online presence or anything, and I'm not against that, but we just don't. But he said, man, I got a 5-year-old. He said, that kid, he won't do right. Well, I tell him to do right. Man, he hits me, and he kicks me, and this, that, and the other. And I'll tell you what I wanted to tell him. He said, what would you do? But my next thought was, man, this is a setup. There's somebody out there in the internet world wants to get a fundamental Baptist preacher saying, knock a kid's block off, which is what I wanted to tell him. Don't put that on sermon audio, you know. All right, edit that out. I know what my mama would have done if I'd have hit her and her trying to tell me what to do and everything. I wouldn't be here tonight or this morning, I'll tell you that right now. But so I said, well, man, I can't tell him what I want to tell him. So all I did, I just put down some references. and Proverbs, here's the chapter, here's the book, here's the verse. I listed out a bunch of references. I said, sir, you look up those Bible verses, you do what they say, it'll work. That's all you got to do. And if they want to lock me up for giving him the Bible, they'll just have to lock me up, I guess. You know, I hadn't heard anything else. I know it works, though. If he tried it, if he did what the Bible says, I don't have to worry or wonder about it. I know it works. We had a couple in our church, or still got, they had a little old boy, man, he was wild as a deer. And they come to ask me about some things, and I said, now listen, I said, here's what y'all need to do with Junior this Saturday night. And I give them what the Bible said. I mean, you get the rod, you get down to the hide, you get their attention, you be consistent about it, and all of this kind of stuff. They come in the next Sunday morning, and the first word, they came in the door, they said, it works, preacher, it works. I said, I know it works. Why? Because the Bible is right. I mean, the Bible's right how you ought to wear your hair. The Bible's right how you ought to dress. The Bible's right how you ought to talk. It's just right. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verse number 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I know that's applying to Israel doctrinally, but I wish we'd get back to practicing that in America. The Bible's right about counsel. The Bible says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. And the Bible said in Psalm chapter number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I tell you, it's a sad day in our country when Christians started living by Dr. Spook and Dr. Spock and Oprah and Dr. Phil and quit living by the Bible. Thy testimonies also are my delights and my counselors. Psalm 119, 133, order my steps in thy word. The Bible's right about creation. The Bible's right about counsel. I'll tell you something else. The Bible's right about conversion. This book tells you how to get to heaven. Look at verse number 14. From the high place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Yea, He piles them all up and says, they're all filthy rags. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what He says. He considereth all their works. And He knows what you've been a-doing too. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great. I mean, He sees down in the back alleys, and He sees out behind the barn, and He sees in the bedroom, He sees in the beer joint, He sees where don't nobody else see. When mom and daddy doesn't see, and the preacher doesn't see, and the church doesn't see, God sees, and He knows all about it. He knows man's as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. There's no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. There's a lot of folks today, they're trying to hook up their good works horses and get in their baptismal chariots and ride to heaven. But that'll never get you there. The Bible will tell you how to be saved. Somebody said, well, my papa was an elder. He told me how to get to heaven. Somebody will say, the infallible Pope, he'll tell me how to get to heaven. Somebody will say, that old boy that dresses like mama and they call him Papa, he'll tell me how to get to heaven. You better let the Bible tell you how to get to heaven. The little song we all learned in Sunday school said, Jesus loves me. This I know. Reckon how you know. For the Bible tells me. The Bible tell you, you need to be saved. I was out in Tennessee, back at home and stuff. We do some horse trading and mules and stuff like that. And I was at a mule sale one time. And the sale was over with. We were going to load up and go home. And I had this mule. I was leading him out of that sale barn towards the trailer. And he took off running and got ahead of me. And I was trying to pull back on the lead rope and get his head turned around. And he got away, kind of got loose and run, jerked out of my hand, run up ahead of him. And when he did, he kicked back with both back feet. I'm talking about a 900-pound mule, iron shod on both back feet. Got me right in the face. Now you look at me, you say something about the way I look, I've been kicked in the face by a 900-pound mule. Looking at you, I wonder what some of y'all's excuse is. I say, man, right there. but boy, he nailed me. And I never went unconscious. They said later it should have absolutely killed me before I ever hit the ground. And I got up. I fell down, got up. Man, my nose just pouring out blood, you know, just awful. Awful and everything. And so I kind of shook my head, stood up, trying to get my head cleared off. And my brother, he come over there and another guy, and this fella, he looked at me and he kind of went like that. And I was starting to think a little fuzzy by then, I guess, but I knew enough to know that ain't a good sign. And he said, man, you need to get to the hospital right quick like. And I said, I'll be all right. I said, just give me a minute, we'll load the rest of these things up on the trailer and we'll go home. He said, no, you need to get to the hospital. I said, I ain't going to no hospital. And so, some other folks come around. They said, well, come sit down a minute. I said, let me go in the bathroom and wash this blood off. They said, no, don't go in the bathroom. I said, man, what are y'all talking about? They said, come on, just sit down. So I sat down, and the next thing I know, here comes some of them ambulance paramedics, you know. They said, you need to go to the hospital bad. I said, you really think I need? They said, yeah, you need to go. And so I said, how much is it going to cost to ride in your ambulance? They said, well, and they kind of hem-hauled around. Another fellow said, they're not supposed to tell you. He said, but it'll be about $600. I said, I'm not riding no ambulance for no $600. If y'all want me that bad to go to the hospital, somebody carry me in a truck. So somebody said, I'll carry you. So they took me on up there, and I walked into the door of the emergency room there. I was kind of holding, you know, and blood going everywhere and stuff. And I walked in the door. There's a woman. I don't know what was wrong with her. She looked all right to me, but she looked up and she said, he can go ahead of me. I said, well, that's another bad sign right there. You know, when folks in the emergency room start letting you go in front of them, that ain't good. But so anyway, long story short, they got me and on a bed and they wheeled me back and give me some morphine, this, that, and the other. Man, I was, I didn't know if I was here or yonder. I'll put it that way. But all of this time, I still never had looked in the mirror. Now, next morning, by then my wife had come up there. She was sitting with me and stuff. And boy, by now, I wasn't feeling too good, I'm telling you. And I said, I got up, eased out of that hospital bed, and I eased on into the facilities there. And for the first time since all that happened, I looked in the mirror. And brother, I'm going to tell you, you talk about the awfulest sight you've ever seen in your life. My head was swelled up. My nose was smashed in. I didn't even look like the same fella that I'd seen last time I looked in the mirror. You've heard of black and blue. I was black, blue, purple, yellow, green. I mean, every color of bruise you could think about. My features was distorted. I mean, it's the awfulest looking mess that you ever saw in your life. And I said, now I see what everybody was so worried about. I tell you, after a while, that doctor come in, bro, he's a foreign-looking feller, but I didn't care, brother, if he was red, yellow, black, white, or purple. He said, we need to operate on you. I said, you're right, doc. I said, y'all give me something to knock me out, and I put myself on your operating table, and you get the job done. And I did. They knocked me out. I didn't do a thing about it. But the next thing I knew, I was waking up with a new nose. Now you say, preacher, what'd you tell us all that for? You just come down here to entertain us with mule stories? No, sir, I didn't drive 9 hours to get to the state of Oklahoma to entertain you with mule stories. But I want to tell you something. That old sinner today that you go out and visit with, he's about like I was. He's been beaten, battered, smashed, and scarred by sin. But he thinks he's plumb all right.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't need him. I'll be all right. That's what I care. I'll be all right. Just give me a little time. I'll be all right. That's what the old sinner said. He said, I'm all right. I don't really need God. I mean, I can handle this. I can turn over a new leaf. I can reform. I can make some good New Year's resolutions. I can do a little better and try a little harder. And I'll be okay and everything. But then, brother, one day the mirror, what James say, that a man looking in the perfect law of liberty is like a man looking in a mirror. And one day I looked in that mirror and what I saw wasn't a pretty sight. What I saw was a lying, wicked, stinking, rotten, sinful heart that was hell-bound and hell-deserving. I saw eternity in hell. I saw I was totally depraved, sinful by nature, sinful by choice, sinful by birth. I mean, I was a sinner. I sinned because I was a sinner. I was a sinner because I sinned. And I realized because of the mirror now, because of the law, because the Bible is right and told me I was a sinner and depraved and hell-bound and hell-deserving. There wasn't nothing I could do to save myself. And I said, Lord, I can't save myself. And what does the Bible say right here? Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him and upon them that hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Oh, brother, like that day I told that old foreign doctor, I said, I'm all yours. You do what you want to do. There's a day by repentance and faith. I came to the great physician. I laid down on His operating table. I laid down a sinner and come up a saint. I laid down going to hell and come up a going to heaven. I laid down lost, came up saved. I laid down in the kingdom of darkness and woke up in the kingdom of His dear Son. I mean, saved. Who did it? The great physician did it. How do I know how to do that? Because the Bible's right. You try to do it your way, you won't ever get there. The Bible is right. Well, the Bible's right about creation. The Bible's right about counsel. The Bible's right about conversion. And the Bible's right about Christ. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. You know the best thing about the Bible? I'm glad the Bible told me God loved me. But that's not the best thing about the Bible. I'm glad the Bible told me how to be saved. That's not the best thing about the Bible. I'm glad the Bible told me about heaven and hell, about creation, and about right living. The Bible told me about the church. But that's the best thing about the Bible. Jesus said, lo, I come. And the volume of the book, it is written of me. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And there they which testify of me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. The best thing about the Bible is it tells us about our Savior, about His blessed name. That angel told Mary, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I mean, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the best thing about the Bible. It tells us about Jesus. And I'm glad everything the Bible tells us is right. I just mentioned four things. The Bible's right about all that and a whole lot more. The works of the Lord are right. It's right about creation. It's right about counsel. It's right about conversion. It's right about Christ. And it's right about a whole lot more than that. So let's love it, learn it, study it, and live it best we can.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I pray you bless this little thought you've given to us here. I pray that you'd fill our hearts with an appreciation and a new wonder. Oh, Lord, I pray we'd be like Job, that we'd desire thy words more than our necessary food. Thank you for this blessed old black book. Oh, God, what a blessing it's been to our lives. We love it, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother.